Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I don't know where to begin. There's more news and more marketing than I really have time to deal with. And we really need to close on these Virginia resolutions. But I think it's really important to maintain a constitutional context on what the heck is going on. And the whole point of these resolutions, both reading the Kentucky resolutions and the Virginia resolutions, the focus has been in dealing with Congress and the danger of them going down this path of going after hate speech. Hate speech seems to be on everybody's list. We've got to put an end to it. And I'm telling you, this is America where the freedom of expression is constitutionally protected. I really don't care how bad your feelings hurt. America was brought up on sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you. And we need to get back to that. I don't care how somebody, I think it's great when somebody wants to go on a racist tirade or somebody wants to go down this path of exposing their innermost feelings about a particular topic, because then at least you know where they're coming from. I think honesty should be praised. I don't think you necessarily need to keep somebody employed if they are diametrically opposed to your organizational sentiments or decorum or what have you. I believe employment needs to be at will, not, you know, at compulsion where you've got unions that force. You can't get rid of somebody, just like government employees. And we've got way too many of those, but we're going to get into more than I probably care to get into, just because it seems like today, there, you know, every single type of topic is falling off the tree. So we will get into a lot of it today, but I want to get back into the middle of the Virginia resolutions because I still want to get back into the militia too. I want to close this whole concept of how we have to restore the militia, because we are dealing with some real internal threats. It's not threats of people wanting to keep their guns. The threat is people wanting to take away the guns, people wanting to inflict political will upon people. And that is a very dangerous road. It is the antithesis of the founding and the basic principles of this government. And if you want to change this government, there is only one process to do it, and it is not at the election ballot. That may be a process, but it is not rectified by a democracy. We are a Republican form of government, period. And I was actually in a meeting last night, a Republican meeting, and I was listening to how this group of Republicans were talking about the ballot initiative and how they think it's a good thing, but they were also kind of emphasizing we are a Republican form of government. And if you understand that, the only way to change and allow voter initiatives to actually have merit, you have to change the Constitution. And I would rather not do that. I think that the Constitution on that issue is rock solid. You do not like the type of laws. You do not like what the heck your representatives are doing to you. Vote them out. We need to actually start pulling out the phone book and pointing at people and going, you're next. Come on, you're going in there. We're voting you in. And we don't care. You know, we're far better off. I just want to make this very clear. We're far better off replacing everybody in the legislative than, you know, keeping all of the rhinos and the rest of the bad. Why? Because if you actually go in with a brand new set of state legislators, senators, and so forth, guess what? They're all going to have to figure out what the heck they're doing, and they're all going to have to be brought up to speed. And this is where we can actually root out some of the things that they are being brought up to speed on, which are the old processes, which may be constitutional violations, which may actually be a part of the systemic problem. As we know, if you watch The Swamp, the video The Swamp, that I forget what group did it. I think it was Mark Levin CRTV. But if you watch it, it's maybe 5-10 minutes. But if you watch it, you'll see that the staffers and the people that are like the permanent employees working in the Capitol, they're the ones that are telling the congressman what they have to do. And that is the antithesis of a Republican form of government. And the fact that they have to pay into these committees, the fact that these committees even exist over unconstitutional powers. I'm going to go bald before this show is over. And I don't mean today's radio show, but I'm just pulling my hair out. Anyway, so let's move forward really quick because I'm going to run out of time today, and and we'll have to get through some of these things, obviously, in other days. But if you want to help, we'd be honored to receive any contributions you have. We have a social funding on GoFundMe. You can get to that via the Reclaiming the Republic link right there on the homepage. We have a link to the GoFundMe campaign. That money is only going to fund the travel of going out and speaking at the states. We've been to Wyoming. We're going to be making another trip to Wyoming. We're going to get out to South Dakota. I'm hoping to get to Arkansas, Oklahoma, Utah. I went to Idaho last night, and so forth. So we are getting busy, and it's about time that this is a good thing. Getting me on travel is a very good thing, because when I'm in front of these political leaders and they are all on board with this, it's just a matter of connecting the dots, folks. And if you look at the cost of travel, it's not like I'm getting rich here. I'm only just getting the government reimbursement rates. If you look and you understand the distance I'm traveling, I'm not charging for gallons and everything else, because obviously there is wear and tear that's put on a car. So I'm only using what the government considers the reasonable rate of reimbursement per mile. And I don't know what that is, 51 cents, 55 cents, whatever. And so that's all I'm doing, because I do know that tires on a truck are not cheap. As a matter of fact, that's for a car, and I'm only using the reimbursement rate for a car rate, not for a truck. So anyway, there's other ways you can help. You can get involved by sending me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I do respond. I will get with you, and we will start working together, and it'll be an honor and a privilege for me to work with you. I'm all about trying to help people succeed, and if you want to lead, I will help you succeed. So it's not about money. It's just about getting involved. And every single story, if I don't remember to tell you this, just always think, man, this is so messed up. I got to get involved, because I should be ending every single story with, what's it going to take? I mean, how bad does it have to get for you to get involved? That's the whole point of going through the news. Two other organizations, our First Right, .org and theconstitutionclub.ning.com. Definitely become a member of the Constitution Club and get involved with Keith Broder's excellent organization. And I mean, he provides great content and so forth. And as I pointed out the other day, he's actually providing the information before anybody else even knows about it. I think Charlie Kirk kind of regurgitated information that Keith Broder's put out a while ago. And he's been harping on this for quite a while. Anyway, I want to thank you for tuning in, and I want to thank you for helping us grow. I want to ask you to please let everybody know that there is actually this unique type of concept on a program. It's solution-based, and that's what we're here about. We're here to help you understand what the solutions are. It's not that hard. It's not about, you know, just getting out there and voting for the good guy. No, no, no. We want to make sure that we're pushing compliance, and we want everybody to comply, because if we get compliance to the constitutions, all our problems go away. It's not about abortion. It's about compliance. It is not about Obamacare. It is about compliance. It's not about Boeing, Max, jets, and the FAA. It is about compliance. And most all of our problems would go away. I did check the news. There is no sign that the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers, which means that you and I are going to have to get involved. We have to step up and get this ball rolling. And the ball is called Republic Review. The Republic Review is the full process of obtaining compliance. It's not just the audit and identifying what the problems is. We've got to do that. That's how the process starts. But it's all about getting enough of a movement to where we can actually inject force and getting compliance. So I will tell you that the Red Pill Expo is coming up June 7th, 8th, and 9th in Hartford, Connecticut. We will have G. Edward Griffin on soon to talk about this. So I'll get all the details from him and we'll be able to keep you informed on that. It is rapidly coming up. So make sure you may look at those costs and go, wow, that's a lot of money. But look at the lineup and the type of people that are coming. You are going to get fire hosed with a lot. It's not just a Lincoln Day dinner where you've got a keynote speaker. Every speaker is a keynote speaker in their own right. And it is a day packed with all sorts of content. So one of the things I do need to get into, and I'm just going to say this right before the break, the freedom of religious expression is in the crosshairs of a few enemies who unwittingly are working in tandem to end Christianity and Christian institutions, or at least that's the perception. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to get into this because I've talked a lot about this in books and so forth. So we will be right back talking about what these enemies of Christianity are doing. So we'll be right back after this, folks. So please stay tuned.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Well, let me first start off with, because I told you there's way too many stories today. I just don't have the time to cover the apologist Biden or the Gillibrand moves or anything that's going on really within that Democratic circus, or Circus Maximus is what I like to call it. I will tell you that I don't have time to get into Trump's meeting with Fabiana Rosales, nor do I have time to get into Facebook and how it is banning hate speech to white nationalists. In other words, Facebook is becoming the regulator of what is considered approved speech. Maybe they will take over the FCC and actually start instituting bureaucratic laws that Congress won't have. We'll just say they won't have the backbone to actually do, because they know it is a violation of the Constitution. But Facebook doesn't have a problem with violating the Constitution because they don't feel like they're under it. Anyway, one of the things I wanted to get into, and I talked about these enemies, because we already know that we've been under assault as far as Christianity throughout the world. I've even brought up the fact that they're killing so many Christians a day, and that's even getting ramped up even more, as we're finding in the Middle East, it is just open season on Christianity. Today, a prayer in the Pennsylvania House of Representatives by Representative Stephanie Borowitz, and I'm just, you know, I'm bad with names, so I'm not trying to be insulting anybody, was apparently called divisive. Apparently, what she did was she thanked Jesus for Donald Trump, and she said that all knees would bow to Christ. Now, I'm telling you that that is a doctrine of Christianity, but let's be clear here. It is not going to be done by the, you know, the end of a barrel or under coercion and force. All knees will willingly bow to Christ. That's just a fact. That is a prophecy that is, I believe, in the Bible. I will look it up, but I've heard this before, and it is not a doctrine of force and compulsion. You got to be able to differentiate this, because the person that was offended happens to believe in Islam, and they actually have a coercive doctrine that says you will either convert or die or be a slave and be put into demitude, or you become a demi-status, which is a slave. And to be clear, that is not, you know, we're not comparing apples and oranges here. One is obviously a willing. It's the same thing as Christianity and charity. There's so many people that have perverted charity into this concept that states, you know, you have to give, and so we've got to be a Christian and giving country. So we'll take money from you and give to those who don't have it. That's not Christ's compassion and Christianity's doctrine. People have to willingly give. That's why we have so many problems, is because people don't give anymore because government takes too much, and government knows this. All of these things need to be got rid of out of government so that we can go back to becoming a true compassionate nation and get rid of homelessness. Because if we actually take it over the way it should be done, homelessness will, Christ even says you won't get rid of it completely, but we can trim it down to a point where I don't even want to say it's manageable, but it becomes at least, or not even acceptable, but it becomes less of a pathway to blight, and it changes society. Who knows? I truly believe we can actually obtain some space in, you know, in this nation to where we can actually depopulate orphanages. We can start depopulating these homeless centers by giving people the right incentives and the right foundations so that they can actually become self-reliant. There's no greater boost to a person's self-worth and self-reliance. And so that's what we need to be doing. And with the fact that they are, you know, dogging Stephanie Borowitz on this whole prayer, it lends to this concept that there is a war on Christianity, and we have to start recognizing that we're going down a path that was cast a long time ago, and they're just now trying to, I think, tie the ends up Just remember, Hugo Black's reach into a personal letter, a personal correspondence from Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptists, and actually making this a law of the land, the separation of church and state, it's just like somebody grabbing, you know, a love letter from George Washington and saying, you know, we're gonna legalize adultery, or let's say he had an adulterous affair. And I'm just throwing this out there. Well, because he did this and he felt that this was okay to do, we're gonna legalize adultery. Are you kidding me? What Jefferson did was not in an official capacity. It was not done by the sovereign in passing laws. The president of the United States does not have the ability to legislate. He was strictly stating an opinion. And that's how it has to be put into context. This concept of separation of church and state needs to be completely ripped out. I want to be clear here. The ratification of the Constitution was done without the Bill of Rights. And I want to also be clear that every state, just so you understand, every state, when they asked for amendments for the Bill of Rights, every state wanted one thing changed in the Constitution. They wanted to insert religious tests. They asked, all the states asked for religious tests, but Madison refused to give it to them because he felt it was opening Pandora's box. So he didn't add those things into that. But most people didn't know that that was a commonality. Bottom line is that let me just read what George Nicholas says, because this goes to this huge debate of the Bill of Rights and the limitation of the Constitution. And he says this, but it is objected to for the want of a Bill of Rights. It is a principle universally agreed upon that all powers not given are retained, whereby the Constitution, the general government, has general powers for any purpose. Its powers are absolute. Where it has powers with some exceptions, there are absolutely only those exceptions. In either case, the people retain what is not conferred on the general government, as it is by their positive grant that it has any of its powers. In other words, in the states and in the Constitution, they listed the powers they were willing to give the federal government, and that was it. Everything else was retained. There's no mention of religion in the Constitution. None, except for in the year of our Lord. That is the only mention of religion in the original Constitution. And he goes on and says, in England, in all disputes between the king and people, recurrence is had to the enumerated rights of the people to determine, are the rights in dispute secured? Are they included in Magna Carta, Bill of Rights, and etc.? If not, they are generally speaking within the king's prerogative. Okay, so he just set it out that in England, if it is protected by the Magna Carta and the Bill of Rights, then it, you know, they can't mess with it. But if not, then it's in the king's prerogative. Now, on the Constitution, he says, in disputes between Congress and the people, the reverse of the proposition holds. Is the disputed right enumerated? If not, Congress cannot meddle with it. So just to be clear, when they ratified the Constitution, it gave the federal government zip on anything religious. They couldn't go and say, hey, you can't have religion in your state, or you have to have religion in your state. It's up to the states, and it's up to the people, and it's up to the individual. But that wasn't good enough. And to be very clear, when they passed the Bill of Rights, go read the preamble. It's really short, and it says basically, during the ratification process of the Constitution, all states had, and I'm going to use the word anxiety, all states had a level of anxiety that they wanted to further constrain the federal government because they didn't feel just the enumerated powers in an enumerated Constitution was good enough. Therefore, they created the Bill of Rights, and this is what we have. And in the Bill of Rights, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free expression and the free exercise thereof. And so when the Supreme Court started saying we have to have a separation of church and state, they're actually prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The Supreme Court has been literally, since Hugo Black and his injection of this opinion of Thomas Jefferson, they have been violating our First Amendment rights. And as they've been ripping these things out of the school, and my good friend Mark Erbach in Georgia wrote the book Believe, America Needs a Third Great Awakening, he points out how they have systematically gone through and erected the National Secular Church. And I'm telling you that the Supreme Court is the enforcement of the secular doctrine. If you understand the intent behind the Bill of Rights, it was to put a nugatory power, in other words, a negative power. You cannot do these things, federal government. The Constitution was, you can only do these things, federal government. All other things were left to the states. And the states had supreme power. Those negatives were only placed upon the federal government. So when we come back, we'll get into how the states got constrained by the 14th Amendment. So please stay tuned, and we're going to tie it together for you. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so as I just said, that the federal government has these hard constrictions. The states at that point in time had their own state-sponsored churches. They had their own education system that was ran by the churches, their own welfare system ran by the churches. The churches did all the compassionate service in the beginning days of this republic, and they did an excellent job. As a matter of fact, homelessness, and as I even told you, our orphanages were, you know, vacant compared to Europe's. France had more in Paris's orphanage than all of the states combined. I mean, it was just unconscionable when John Adams went to France and saw the orphanages there, and he was just overwhelmed by how many kids were there in the orphanages, in contrast to what he saw in America. I mean, it wasn't even a fraction of that. I mean, he was just absolutely embarrassed with the immorality that was going on in France.
So anyway, the states did not have any nugatories put on it until the bad behavior of the South started oppressing the freemen after the Civil War, or what we call, you know, the non-Civil War, where the North inflicted economic measures against the South until they finally said, hey, this is all about emancipating all people. Anyway, the 14th Amendment was passed, and I understand that the Southern states were forced to accept the 14th Amendment to come back into the Union. They didn't have to come back into the Union, but to come back into the Union, they had to, ratify the 14th Amendment. And so they did it under duress, but nonetheless, they were the ones that seceded. They were the ones that put this nation in flux. They were the ones that chose not to free their slaves in the Constitutional Convention, which I've given you the evidence of that. Both the Carolinas and Georgia said, no, we have to have slavery or we're leaving. And so they were the ones that actually inflicted all of this damage upon us. So they were forced into this, and I'm okay with that because to the victors kind of go the spoils, right? And so in the 14th Amendment, it says this: no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States. So that's individual citizens. That's not institutions and organizations, right? So at that point in time, the states could still maintain and manage their state-sponsored churches as long as they didn't abridge privileges and or immunities of the individuals. So if you understand what I just said, states could actually go back and establish state-sponsored churches again as long as they allow people to individually express and or worship how they want to. They actually had bans on religion at that time as well. Islam was not allowed in the states. It was banned in the states, and they could go back to that if they wanted to. They would just allow the people to have their own individual worship and expression, and you could do that in your own home, but we're not allowing you to proselytize, because the Jews weren't allowed to proselytize or have synagogues or anything like that in America in the very beginning. So what we have here in the 14th Amendment was the application of the individual privileges and immunities that were applied to the states so that they couldn't make any laws. So here's the thing. Why is it that the state and the federal government are making laws and saying you can't put up a crucifix, you can't have Christ, or you can't have these things? What they're trying to do is they're trying to make us a God. And that's exactly what they've been doing in establishing a national, secular, godless nation. And today, from a macro, it appears that the Islamists, the atheists, and the humanist or Luciferist, if you want to understand what the humanist and Luciferans are doing, because they are all working together, even though they don't even know it, they're working to basically close the noose on Christianity to help eradicate it. At least that's what the perception is. But actually, they are working to morph religion into a populist worship. And I'm not making this up, because it doesn't take a real leap of faith if you read the Bible to understand. I'm not clairvoyant or anything like that, but if you read the Bible, it basically says in the last days in Revelations, the world will be deceived by a leader, and that leader will be the Antichrist, and that everybody will worship him. And if you understand populist or populism with regards to religious fanaticism and all of that, I'm not here to pontificate and I'm not here to prophesy. But what I am here to do is to basically tell you that we are facing the anti-Christian church, and we're facing anti-Christianity, and that movement is growing in America instead of subsiding. And it all started with that KKK Supreme Court Justice Hugo Black. I'm not making this stuff up. Go do your research. You will find that he was a high level dragon or what have you in the KKK. And he was a godless man, and he was literally forcing godlessness and overreaching. He was legislating and forcing unconstitutional laws upon America. And so this movement inside and even outside Christianity to strip away the bedrock principles of Christianity, they're basically trying to prepare for this push and this movement to get us into a space. Now, I could go down a lot of different religious doctrines and so forth, and I just don't want to go down there. Not today. I don't have the time, nor do I want to make the show about that. Just understand that what we're seeing with all these people being offended, that's a facade. I want you to just reverse the roles here for a second. If that Islamist, if that atheist was living in a nation of atheism, how free would they be to allowing somebody to be offended by their atheism or Islamists? If you go to a caliphate in Islam and you were Christian, what would happen to you? You would have to hide the fact that you were Christian, and you could not state that you were offended, or you would probably be killed. It's the same thing in the atheist-controlled type of countries, such as communist, hardcore communist Russia. You had to actually worship, and you had to do all of that in hiding, because you were put in the gulag if you were out there worshiping Christ. You couldn't proselytize or anything. So it's not about feelings, what's going on here, folks. It's all about control. And that's exactly why. And they're playing our tolerance against us. We have to actually tolerate the fact that she has a right to be offended and just shut up and go away. Just take your offense and go have a good cry and then come back with your, you know, big girl britches on and get to work. Because, again, America was brought up on sticks and stones will break our bones, but words will never hurt us. And so get over it. Get over yourself. You're not that big. You're not that important. I need to correct one of the things I totally forgot yesterday when I threw it out there that Bill Cosby should have had his trial in Chicago. They would have just been able to get rid of the case. But I didn't. I totally forgot. And I wanted to thank Tony for, you know, hitting me up with an email, because apparently he remembered me talking about this. Cosby, way back, I want to say it was 2003, 2005, somewhere in there, where Cosby had a debate with Jesse Jackson in D.C., and it was in August. It was around the memorial or around the anniversary of the I Had a Dream. And if it's available, you should go watch it, because Cosby cleans Jesse Jackson's clock on the socialism and the victimism and everything else that the left black movement has been doing in holding back and subjugating the black communities, and how Cosby was trying to actually free them. Now, I believe that this debate was the catalyst to Cosby's demise. And I truly believe that this, you know, everybody knew about Bill's conquest, or at least some people knew about his conquest, because people brag. Men will tell, and if you remember, Wilt Chamberlain bragged himself about having slept with 10,000 women or what have you. And I wouldn't put it past the fact that, you know, somehow it got out that Bill Cosby may have had his way with women. He had a special deal or what have you. I don't know. All I know is that Bill Cosby did clean Jesse Jackson's clock, and Jesse Jackson happens to be a mob boss in Chicago. And so it just makes sense to me that he wouldn't have gotten a fair shake in Chicago. What really worries me, though, out of this whole Smollett case, is Rahm Emanuel. I mean, Rahm Emanuel is, you know, he's not a good player. He's not a good guy. I mean, he is an Alinsky leftist. And the fact that he's actually speaking out that they're doing this kind of worries me. But I don't have time because we're going into a hard break. But let's talk about the FBI when we come back. And I will be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube, provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
All right, before I get into the Obamas and move into this Smollett case, what little bit I want to cover for it, I needed to close and I needed to tie this together because, forgive me, I sometimes forget that there's actually a meaning behind all of this. The war on Christianity is real. I'm telling you that people are dying because of Christ. And I'm telling you that the evil powers are concentrating against Christ. And I will tell you that we have this constitutional protection that we have. And the only thing that is going to maintain that is if we can maintain the Constitution. There are people that understand this, and they're doing everything they can to put aside the Constitution and actually get rid of it. Our politicians in D.C. are working ardently. The left and the deep state are working ardently to get rid of that document. Most of them are unwittingly working to do this. They don't really realize, and they will rue the day when they actually realize what they had done because they didn't think it would be that bad. But I'm here to tell you that we have an opportunity in saving and ending this war on Christianity on these soil, on this land and these soils, these states, whatever you want to call it. We have the opportunity with Republic Review enforcing compliance and getting turning the federal government back and getting out of the business of ramrodding this national secular godlessness down our throats in the education system and everything else. Because if the federal government was complying with the Constitution, they wouldn't be mandating any doctrine in education. It's not, remember what Nicholas said? If it's not an enumerated power, they can't meddle with it. That's why compliance is the solution.
That's why Republic Review, auditing the Constitution and forcing the federal government into compliance, and the states need to get there too, but we need to go down this path of getting everybody into compliance, period. So let me move forward now with the Michelle Obama and her getting involved in this prosecution of Smollett. And I find it interesting how she wanted the FBI to take over long before this really started moving down this path of prosecution. I've been telling you, when most people say, hey, the rank and file of the FBI is good to go, these are, you know, good red-blooded Americans. And I've been telling you, I don't think so. When we have actually seen political divisiveness out in these state offices, what happened in Florida, why didn't they get involved? Maybe it was a problem that they were willing to, you know, let a few kids die so that we can get moved down this ideological path of taking away guns from people because they believe that that's the best thing, that the Constitution's the problem. I know for a fact that, and I've had somebody on that's actually bore witness that in the Spokane area, the FBI has been doing unsavory things in suppressing liberty or at least intimidating people. And so I don't believe that the FBI and Michelle Obama was trying to do this for really justice to be served, more about handling, just like the way they handled Hillary Clinton and how they were willing to take the heat instead of it being done at the local level. But I'm just telling you, I don't understand why nobody else is putting this together other than there's just way too many people that are soft pedaling the deep state. The deep state runs wide. It is even in patriot organizations like the NRA. I've even put it out there. I wish somebody would prove me wrong. I think the John Birch Society is a part of the deep state too. They are too sterile regarding solutions, and especially the way they seem to be the party of no, 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 and you know, for an organization that has dedicated themselves to stopping communism. If you're going to give them an A, B, C, or D, would you give them an A or an F? Look at communism in America today. You give them the grade. I'll tell you later what grade I would give them. Anyway, and see, the interesting thing is, because I look at the people, the rank and file people in these organizations, and I don't think most of them are completely oblivious. I know lots of people in the federal government agencies and defense contracting and so forth. I know people in the John Birch Society. I know people in all of these different types of organizations, and most of these people are really good people. But why is it that they're making these decisions and doing certain things like the NRA? Things are not making sense other than the fact that, as I've been hearing, and the term is controlled opposition. There are people that are pulling the strings, that are making sure that solutions are not embraced, that we just keep the status quo so that we can continue to be herded along to the cliff like lemmings so that we can just jump off. And that's not a very good thing. Another thing I wanted to bring up, that because this does get into the constitutionality of things, the county of New York banning kids access to public places. People are talking about, is this this is a violation of the Constitution. There are two sides to this constitutionally. The government does have a right to public safety. They can set some standards. However, they cannot be compulsory in forcing people to take injections for public safety. What they have to do, because they're using compulsion for education, taking from those to give to those who need education, they have to deliver education to these non-vaccinated kids. They have to provide access to these, people that are non-vaccinated, just like they go out of their way to print things in Spanish, even though in the give you a good case in point. California, the official language of the state of California in the Constitution is English. So they actually, I believe, in the language says that they're not supposed to be writing anything other than in English, and they have everything they do, you know, in speaking Spanish and printing and so forth. They need, the governments, like New York, needs to start dealing with, okay, we've got this movement, and we need to be able to provide classes and education for these kids that are not vaccinated if we really believe that this is a threat. I honestly think that the results take time to measure. That's a scientific rule, and that we will prove to the fact that, you know, people not getting vaccinated is actually okay. They're not going to kill off anybody as long as they're together. I don't even think there's a problem with commingling. The problem is that, and what I have seen is the people that are dying are those who have been vaccinated and then introduced to the problem. Anyway, let me just keep moving on. There's just way too much that I told you. The legitimizing of Obamacare, they're trying to, and we talked about this, is trying to get rid of it altogether with the Department of Justice. If you want to legitimize the Obamacare, the only way to do this is to amend the Constitution. The FAA getting involved in, you know, Boeing and all of that. You want to legitimize the FAA, then amend the Constitution. If you ask me, that it should be an SAA, a state aviation administration, and it's the same thing with the communications, the FCC. It should be a state communication commission. I want to ardently and, you know, impress upon you. I want to use all the fervor and excitement I possibly can that we have a real problem with our journalism and the states, as I was saying with the 14th Amendment, the states are not bound to not having rules and regulations on institutions like the press. And so I would love to see the state starting to create journalistic standards so that they can go down this path of holding the states, or I should say agencies, news agencies like CNN and so forth, to very specific standards of journalism, and going after them, either fining them or what have you, when they actually put out salacious stories or they put things out without any veracity and so forth. There's a way to clean up journalism. And I honestly think that, you know, we should have a public process where people, like on jury duty, but we just pull people in and, you know, we start raiding and evaluating agencies, newspapers, and so forth. If their slant is anti-gun and they don't publish anything that's pro-gun, pro, you know, both sides of the story, then they have to get rated as a slant or a propaganda organization, and then they start getting taxed accordingly by the states and so forth. I think there's a way to do this without actually, you know, getting too overboard. I think there's a good pragmatic approach, but we have to do something. Now, I'm going to jump into, you know what? I'm going to save this for tomorrow because I'm looking and I don't have enough time. But I'm going to go down and dive into some insensitive comments regarding homosexuality in schools. But I, like I said, I just don't have time to really close the loop on this. I will just say that one more thing. The U.S. federal court struck down North Carolina's decades-old ban on 20-week abortions. This goes back down to compliance. All of these things that I've talked about, the FAA, FCC, these abortions and so forth. Folks, if it's not an enumerated power in the Constitution, and the nugatory powers of the Bill of Rights only puts negatives, but if it's not a granted power, the federal government has no jurisdiction. They can't meddle with it. They have no power. They have zip constitutional power over abortion, over health care, over education. What's it going to take? I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. God bless.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty.